Again, it's good to be here, my brothers and sisters, and a little report card on Mark Martin and Tyler Arns. They're doing very well. In fact, they're on an off-campus weekend this weekend, so I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see them running around. I haven't seen them today, but they like to come here when they can, because you are so welcome to them, and so I thank you, I profusely thank you for welcoming two of our seminarians and giving them a home away from home. But today, the Lord has some seemingly welcome words and then some other unseemingly welcome or unseeming in the sense of God. But first of all, let's look at the welcome words. I always like to go to the good thing first. He will take away the reproach of his people. He will remove from us this reproach. What is the reproach? If we think about it in all of our spiritual and all the scriptures, it's the reproach of what we deserve. Reproach is what we deserve. It's what Satan says. Look what they did. And he's right. Look what I did. I can't really deny that. I have. But God does what Satan just cannot stand. He wills to take my reproach away. But then again, we look at this last gospel, or the gospel, the last reading, and we hear the three, you know, those who were invited guests, and they refuse. They refuse to receive what God has given. Obviously, that's very reproachable. And then there are those who ignore God's invitation, also reproachable. And then there's the others. After everybody ignores, and some even kill, I can't forget that one, those who kill the messenger, try to destroy Jesus and his gospel, try to destroy those who come to them with him. And obviously, that's very reproachable. And then comes where we like to be, the servants that didn't do those three things, that try to receive the Lord. And I should say, let us put ourselves there. Why? You're here. You're here. So go ahead and put yourself there. But remember the beautiful line that's so real, I should say, the bad and the good alike. Go out and receive the bad and the good. So far, so good. Now we get this last line, and the deacon asks, should I do the whole gospel? Because there was an option tonight to shorten the gospel, which would have taken out this last line. And I said, no, this is the one we got to address. The guy who comes and is not wearing a wedding garment. And because of that, he is tossed out. Tossed out, and as Jesus says, cast out into the darkness where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Everybody that's ever looked at this passage throughout the centuries has said, man, that's pretty tough. That sounds pretty darn cruel of God, because the guy's wearing the wrong vestments. Is that it? Is that real? Well, we've got to be real about this. In fact, these are the type of lines why are the reasons there are atheists in the world. Because they or somebody may have interpreted that for them wrongly, and they start to see God as cruel. And then they say, well, if that's God, then I don't want God. And I say to them, you're right. If that's God, I don't want God. But I don't believe that's God. Why? John tells us God is love. Defined. Definitive. He is love. So, and that's, of course, not a reading that we took tonight, but John gives us that, and we believe it. So, therefore, how could we say God is cruel? Love is not cruel. It's the principle of contradiction. One can't be something and exactly the opposite at the same time. It's impossible. So he's not cruel. So what then does he mean? What is the Lord trying to say to us about this guy? How do we interpret this fella that's not dressed in a wedding garment? Obviously, he talked about the bad and the good coming. So it's not just because the dude is bad or was bad before he got there. It has more to do, obviously, with what happens after he gets there. Or after the invitation. After the invitation. Some of the saints have, over the years, looked at this and said, again, it's dealing with baptism. Once we have been reconciled in Him by His grace, and we can, again, go further than baptism, because obviously we sin and fail after that, most of us, unless, you know, we die on our deathbed right after a deathbed baptism, or an infant after a baptism, but most of us kind of linger around a little while and cause a little more trouble. So we need to go back to that grace. And where do we do that? Right here, in reconciliation. And we still receive the same thing. Each one of those is the invitation to the wedding feast. When I went through the baptism, when I go through reconciliation, I'm re-invited to the wedding feast. Where's the wedding feast? You're here. We're here at the wedding feast. And in heaven, we will see it in its fullest glory. And so why, again, at the beginning of Mass, do we reconcile ourselves, try to reconcile ourselves to the Lord? Because we want to be clothed right before the wedding feast. So that gives us a little more to look at when we're talking about this guy that's not clothed. What this could be interpreted is a guy who's been invited, gets there and says, thank you. I mean, let's go back to that first reading. He gets there and he says, okay, where's the juicy, rich foods? Where's the choice wines, dude? And that's all he cares about. Not really changing his heart after he's been reinvited by the Lord. His sins have been forgotten. He doesn't care. He just wants what he can get. That's the one without the garment. As I was thinking about this and praying, I was looking for a story, and the Lord brought up a story that I remembered in a beautiful book that I read years ago. It's called The Pope and the CEO. It's by Andreas Widmer, who used to be part of the Swiss Guard for John Paul II, when a long, long, long time, I can't remember the years, back in the 80s or something. But he tells of this story that our Pope at the time was involved in. It's a real-life story, and I'll try to paraphrase it and put it in front of me so I can remember the points. But there was a priest that was over in Rome, American priest in Rome, for a conference, and in the middle of the conference at lunch, he wanted to go to the church, to a church in Rome. If you go to Rome, 360-some, you can go to a new church every day in Rome. There are 360-some churches in the city. So he went to this church that he liked, and there was, if you've been to Rome, you see it, beggars in almost every church, regularly, every day. And as he was walking in, he saw a beggar and double-taked, but went in. And he came back out, and he had to go over, and he said, do I know you? And the beggar turned his head away and said, yeah, you do. We were in the seminary together. We were ordained together in Rome. It was a priest. And then he went on to tell his story, and he said, yeah, and I made some really bad choices after my ordination, and I am no longer worthy to be a priest, and lost that gift that the Lord had given. So there he was, a beggar. The priest, of course, his friend, was so distraught by that he had to rush back to the Vatican to continue the conference. And at the end of the conference, got to meet John Paul II, everybody in the conference. And as he was talking to John Paul and was greeting him, he couldn't help but say, Holy Father, I got to tell you about something. Quickly told him the whole story about this priest. After that, he went back to that church to find that young man. And he got there, he told the beggar, he said, the Holy Father is praying for you. And the beggar, just like, you know, most of us would say, well, yeah, whoopee-doo, big deal. That's great. And then he said, well, no, I got more to tell you. The Holy Father wants you and me to come to dinner with him tonight. And the guy kind of protested. He said, I'm dirty. What do I do? And the guy said, come to my apartment. You can shower there. I have an extra suit. Put that on. So he did. Shaved up, got cleaned up, went with him to dinner. And there they were. And there was the Pope waiting for them when they got there. And they sat down to dinner. They had the first course, second course. And then at some point, Bishop Jeevich, who's now a Cardinal Jeevich, was the secretary at the time with John Paul II. John Paul II just did a little hand signal, and Jeevich knew exactly what he meant. And he came over to the priest who had found the beggar and said, "Come on out with me for a minute." And they walk out and shut the door. And 1 minute goes by, 2 minutes, 5, 10. And as if Jeevich knew exactly how long it would take, he said, "Okay, we can go back in now." After 10 minutes, they go back in. Finish up the dinner, and they leave. Of course, the priest cannot help but ask the beggar, his former priest brother, "What did he say?" And the guy says, "You won't believe it." He says, "Try me. I need to know." And the guy said, "This is what he did. After you walked out, the Pope said, 'Father, will you hear my confession?'" And that priest protested. He said, Holy Father, I'm not a priest. I'm a beggar." And the Holy Father retorted, "I'm a beggar too. Will you hear my confession, Father? You are a priest. Once a priest, always a priest." He said, he protested again. He said, "But I'm not in good standing." He said, "I'm the Pope. If I say you're in good standing, all you have to do is consent to that, and you are reinstated in good standing." So he did. He said, "How could you not accept that?" So he heard the Holy Father's confession, and then the guy said, well, that couldn't have taken too long, the Pope's confession." He said, "No, it didn't take too long. It took about 2 minutes. But then I turned to him and said, 'Will you hear my confession?'" And so he knelt before the Holy Father and was received back into the wedding feast, given a new garment. And then the Holy Father gave him this assignment. He said, "What church were you at?" And he told him what church he was begging at. He said, "You are to report to that pastor of that church tomorrow, and this is your assignment. You are to take care of all the beggars." He said, "Because, Father, we're all beggars." And so this priest took up his mission from that day forward, was the priest to the beggars of Rome. Now, he could have come back and say, "Yeah, I'm the big guy shot now, I'm back in," and, you know, been not so easy to work with in the new pastor, but he didn't. He went and he took care of the beggars. He was received back, now knowing what a grace the second time that he had received from God. And so, again, that's what we're invited to. And it really isn't something that we should get worried about. You know, some people can say, "Well, what if I sin and sin and sin and sin and sin? And does that mean that it's going to be lost, that opportunity to come back?" No, never, ever is it lost. However, how do we not wind up like this guy who was a sinner and be caught without the right clothing? The key to that is sincerity of heart. We hear in the church the one thing that you have to have in that little box, and that is a sincere act of contrition in the heart. Not that I'm sure I'm never going to go out and do this again, not that I'm sure I am, but that right now I never want to do that again. Never, ever, 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 ever. That's the contrition in the heart. That's the clothing that we need before the Lord. No matter how many times you fall, to get back up. There are many saints that have given us this example throughout the centuries. One of my favorites, St. Peter, failed miserably. But what did he not fail to do every time he failed? To get back up. "Help me, Lord." That is the sincerity that we need. That's why every time we come, we beg him again, "Forgive us for what we've done." And if it gets too big, we go to him there. "Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." God bless you all, and may we all be at the wedding feast dressed in beautiful garments.